very hard switch that goes like this. Or this. Maybe.
Is it unmuted?
Am I on mute, maybe?
Is the battery in there?
Do we charge this battery, maybe? There's no battery.
There's no battery in it.
Does it take the double A's or what?
No, no, no. Oh, yeah.
There's nine volts right up there too.
What do you think? This doesn't look like a 9 volt to me. I mean, look at that, Chad. But look at it before you. Doesn't that look like two?
No.
Two double A's? Because it's kind of.
Yeah, probably. They're double A's. It says double A's.
Yep.
Okay.
It is two double A's. Sorry.
Well, I'm glad to be back. It feels like forever. Of course, we missed two Sundays because we were on mission. And then, unfortunately, last Sunday, I got food poisoning. That's why I missed last Sunday. That was rough. That took a few days to get over. Anyway, so it feels like so long since I've been with you. These might not be charged, so I'm saving your face.
Let's do this. Maybe we should just invest in.
I got green light. I got a green light. It's on. It's got a green light. Now I just need volume. Do I need to abandon this show and go to the? Do I have volume?
You might let it go. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a good try.
It was a valiant effort. And now I got. Oh goodness. Now I got the tangle. This is not good. I need to be turned up. Okay. Am I turned up? All right. Okay. So I don't have to shout. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you for the hand clap. That was hard work. You know, we've got a couple babies that have been born in the last few weeks, don't we? Congratulations, Kayleen and Alex, on little Ellen K, right? Ellen K. Isn't that a precious name? Yeah, they have a little girl. After having two boys, that's fun. And then Josh and Rosanna Hofer have a little baby boy, Paul Joshua. Did I get that right? I know Paul's right, Paul Joshua. And so that's pretty exciting. That's really exciting. We got more people having babies in the future here. Oh, praise God. Well, today I am going to talk about honor, and specifically honoring moms, but really honor. And I feel like this is probably a subject we can't talk about too much because it's actually very countercultural. And whenever we have something in our culture that has become like the opposite is what's always being exuded, we have to almost overemphasize what God says about the subject, okay? And so we just have to, I'm not really dissing America, I love America, but we need to be aware of the culture we live in. It's a super disrespectful culture, actually. Like we much more value our right to have an opinion than our right to be like, you know, kind, polite, even godly sometimes. And so there's a spiritual law, though, around honor. Actually, honor in itself, when we walk in honor, honor opens up doors for you. It's a pathway for grace and blessings to flow in your life. If you show me someone who has a spirit of honor, who knows how to honor their boss, who knows how to honor their coworkers, who knows how to honor their parents, honor their children, who just walks in honor, you show me that person, you will find a blessed person. You will find someone who people like, who people want to do things for. You'll find the person who's getting the promotion. Because honor actually is a pathway for grace and blessing to flow on. It's like creating a highway that God's blessings can down. And oftentimes when we walk in honor, we receive blessing and grace that we ourselves didn't even work for. That is the supernatural. There's a supernatural aspect to honor that when you walk in honor, you actually receive things that you didn't even work for. You ever hear that scripture, honor a prophet and you'll receive a prophet's reward, right? You honor somebody for who they are and what they carry, and you get something that you didn't even work for in return, right? The biblical definition of honor is actually to value, to appreciate, to esteem, to regard, to respect. Their honor is actually the cure for a plethora of family dysfunction. When we look at the family unit, it's amazing how many issues can be actually fixed and healed just by walking in honor. Isn't that true? Honor keeps us from slandering and gossiping, right? Honor keeps us from just saying anything that flies into our head, right? Honor is actually a cure. Honor is also one of the ways that we display God's love in our homes. I had a great home growing up. Great parents. Some of you know my parents. They're stellar. They're great. And I was thinking about this morning about my own mom. I had the mom everyone dreamed of having. She was born into this earth for motherhood. I mean, my mom exudes being a mom. She's so motherly. She just like adopt like random strays everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, stray people. Do you know what I mean? Anyone know someone like that? Stray children. Just, you know, we had different people live with us growing up. Foreign exchange students would come to live with another family and somehow end up with my parents because it wasn't going well there. I mean, my mom is just amazing. And I have some really fond memories of my mom. I'm just going to honor her for a minute. She's super godly, very, very godly. She was the first one in her family to come to Christ when she was 5 years old. 5 years old. Really matters. If you're ministering to little neighborhood kids, or some, maybe you're someone who brings little cousins or nephews or nieces to church, and maybe you're involved with foster care or just being a light in your neighborhood. I just want to say it really matters. She had they moved a lot because her dad was a trucker, and everywhere they went, the Lord would put a godly neighbor next to my mom. And when she was five, she'd go to the little Baptist church with the neighbor family every single Sunday and invited Jesus into her heart at 5 years old. And she said, I didn't know it. I thought I had to do it every day. So every night before she went to bed, she said the sinner's prayer. Little five-year-old. Until a couple years later, she learned that she didn't have to do that. And then wherever they would move, God would make sure there was a godly neighbor to take my mom to church. Eventually, the seed was real, right? Eventually, her mother, her father, her other two sisters all came to Christ. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? And my mom felt called into ministry at a young age. She went to Bible school. She had to put herself through school. She didn't have any outside help. She worked at Dairy Queen full time. She would get up, go to class, go straight to Dairy Queen, eat one meal a day. It was her free hamburger. She had a hamburger, a small fry, and a little cone they would get free every single day. And that was her meal a day that she ate all the way through college until she got mono because she was working so hard. And she would take her little Dairy Queen money and go straight to school and pay the tuition and have like a few bucks to live on. Now, that was amazing. But my mom was such a great nurturer. She knew how to nurture. She knew how to like pour love out on a person. Like to this day, I love my mom's hug. to this day, I think about telling my mom good news. Isn't that just, I hope you have a mom. I hope you have a mom, or you had one if they passed away like that. If not, the Lord maybe give you a spiritual mom like that. I have this memory of being maybe a junior in high school and being invited to the prom and going to go shopping. And I just, you know, I had so much money and like limited amount of money. And I bought my own clothes. And I remember going into this dress shop and there was this one particular dress. It was three times what I had budgeted. And it was on the mannequin. And we both looked at it. And my mom's like, "That's the dress." I remember that. I remember my mom being more excited about that dress than I was, probably. I was excited. And she's like, "You have to get it. You just have to. That's the dress, Autumn." Isn't it amazing what touches your life, right? What touches your heart as a kid? Like your mom being more excited for your wedding dress than you are, your wedding day or a prom or an accomplishment. There's something really powerful about moving into honoring our parents. Your parents have something to pass on to you. Even if your parents were messed up, even if your parents were really broken, because some of us come from broken backgrounds, right? Even broken families have something to pass down, right? Something good. We know we got some bad stuff passing down too, right? We got to get that stuff out. But even a broken family, there's something there that God had for you to learn, to glean from, to carry on. You know the saying, even a broken clock is right twice a day? So even a broken parent, right? They had something to pass on. And if we can learn to honor well, if we can learn to be people of honor, you get to walk in a blessing that you basically did nothing for. You just were someone's kid, right? And you get to grab a hold of the greatness that was in your mom and your dad, and to walk in that grace. There's a scripture in Proverbs 31 that I absolutely love. It says, it's talking about this Proverb 31 wife, which is quite the lady. You know, she says, part of it, I always think, you know, if you ever read that and you think, how could any one woman accomplish that? Remember, it says that she tells her servants what to do and they do it. I'm like, you give me a couple servants and I could be a Proverbs 31. If I had a couple, not slaves, just employees, like, I don't believe in slavery, but you know, like, I could accomplish a lot with my day too. Yeah. But I love this, Proverbs 31, verse 28. Her children stand and bless her. Isn't that great? Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all, is what they say. This is how, actually, that's the verse I think Jeff used to propose to me. Special verse. Charm is deceptive. Beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will greatly be praised. Reward her for all she's done. Her deeds publicly declare her praise. So I just want to take a few minutes here and talk about how we can honor our parents, specifically our moms, but both our parents, through every stage of life, because it kind of changes, doesn't it? Our relationship with our parents changes from 5 to 15 to 25 to 40, maybe 60, 80 years of age. Our relationship changes. So how can we, as children, all of us are children, honor our mom and therefore honor the Lord in every stage of life? Number one, as a child, as a minor child, you honor your mom by obeying her. You honor your mom and your dad by obeying them. And that's on your sheet if you're taking notes in your handout. This is what Ephesians 6 says, quoting one of the Ten Commandments. It made it into the top 10, guys. Actually, honor is not a small thing. Honoring your parents is not a small thing. God had 10 things he narrowed it down to and put them in stone. And one of them was honor your mom and dad. Right? That's important. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says this, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. Why do we obey our parents? Because we belong to God is why. Obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. And then he quotes right now the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and your mother, this is the promise, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Do you want things to go well for you? Honor really is one of the keys that opens up a spiritual blessing for us, right? See, God is the one who establishes authority. This is good, guys. And we see in the Bible, there's three different aspects of life that God has established authority in. He's established authority in government, clearly. The Bible says that God has appointed leaders in government, in nations, right? He has appointed authority in the home. God has authority structure in the home. And he has appointed authority in the church. So three spears of authority that God has established. And he says that we are to operate within these spears in a spirit of honor. And you know, one thing, I'm just going to say this now, like, because some of us didn't have the very best parents, maybe, or parents that really hurt us. Or you're thinking about all those three different spheres of authority and maybe immediately like you're kind of feeling prickly about honoring some government official or something. But we need to learn that even if we cannot honor a person, we honor the position. So that means I've told my children before, even if you don't like your teacher's personality, you honor your teacher because she's the teacher. You honor the position of teacher, right? Unless she's asking you to deny your faith, close your mouth, put a smile on your face, and do what she says. Right? We honor the policeman because he's a policeman. Even if maybe we know something about his personal life that we don't like. Maybe we know that police officer personally, and he's kind of like not that great of a, but when we stand before him, we honor him because not just because of who he is, but of what title he carries, because of his position. It is the same children, what all of us, when we approach our mom and dad, we bless them and honor them because of who they are as a person, but also because of their position, their mom and dad. And God says to bless them. As you grow up, teenagers, this is great. As a teenager, and young adult, you honor your mom and your dad by respecting and listening to them. That is one of the ways you honor your mother and father. This is what it says about respecting people. In Leviticus 19:3, it says, each of you must show great respect for your mother and your father. Actually, in the Old Testament, if a child was extremely disrespectful, it was on the more extreme side. They said to take him outside of the camp and stone him. Is anyone thankful that we're not living in that day and age anymore? Like half the room would be gone, I think, right? You went through your dark stage and that was it. Snuff you out. Praise the Lord for the cross. Hebrews 12:9 even says how we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us. When they disciplined us, we respected them, right? Respect doesn't necessarily mean that we don't see someone's weakness, because we all have weaknesses. And once you become about a teenager, you think you see every weakness your parents have and that they only have weaknesses. Does anyone remember that? It's not that we don't see their weakness, but respect means that you accept them, forgive them, and enter into honor and honor them by respecting them. I'm going to tell a little Bible story here. Do you guys remember Noah? Noah built an arky. Yes, okay. Yeah, so Noah, it was a sinful, the earth was so full of sin that the Lord actually destroyed the whole earth, and only Noah and his righteous family, Noah, because he was righteous, and his family were saved. Okay, so after the ark landed, and the waters receded, and they began to rebuild their life. And it was like Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, okay? So, I mean, they're really rebuilding from scratch. And so Noah, it says, over time, then he planted a vineyard, is what it says. And when he harvested it, he drank wine and became drunk. Maybe he was depressed because he was like the last father on the face of the earth. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows why? But he became drunk. He passed out in his tent naked. Okay? So, you know, it's not Noah's finest moment, obviously. Here's dad, passed out drunk, naked in his tent. And his son Ham found him. Yes, his son's name was Ham. He was a real jokester. But anyway, Ham walks into the tent and finds his dad passed out drunk, naked, and thinks it's hilarious. And he runs to get his other brothers to bring, like, hey, look at dad, right? But his other brothers, Shem and Japheth, they would not participate in it. They actually grabbed a blanket and they walked into the tent with a blanket up and covered their father. See, when Ham was not walking in a spirit of honor, and when he saw his father's weakness, he made the most of it, right? It's like Noah was there showing some flesh, so to speak. And each one of us, when we're walking in with our family unit, you walk closely with people, right? You get to see the good and the bad and the ugly, right? You start seeing their flesh, so to speak, the worst traits. You're also seeing their best traits, but there's something about human nature that we always like to focus on the worst traits. You gotta go against the grain on that one, because it's just like our human nature. 10 things right, one thing wrong. That's the only thing we think about, right? But you walk with your family long enough, you're going to start seeing their flesh, just like Ham saw Noah's. You're going to see their weaknesses. And the temptation is to then enter into disrespect because that person isn't worthy of your respect because now you've seen their weakness. You've seen the worst parts. But when Noah woke up, he actually cursed Ham's descendants. Because it was such a huge thing what happened. The dishonor in the home, the disrespect that happened. That Noah said, may Canaan be cursed. Canaan was Ham's son. So it's interesting. Noah didn't directly curse Ham. He cursed Ham's children. May Canaan be cursed, and may he be the lowest of servants to his relatives. Do you know that happened? Yeah. Then it says, may the Lord, the God of Shem, be blessed, and may Canaan be his servant. May God expand the territory of Japheth. May Japheth share the prosperity of Shem. And may Canaan be his servant. The people of Canaan, Ham's sons, grew up, became the Canaanites. They were the ones that Israel drove out of the promised land. They were full of immorality and idol worship. They left no notable contribution to the world. They were so wicked that the Lord deemed they had to be wiped out because there was like nothing good in their society. So he raised up the sons of Shem called Israel. And they did the job. We just need to learn how God views authority, how God views respect and honor, and renew our minds about how beautiful honor is in the home. The second way that a teenager, young adult, honors their parents is actually by listening to them. It says in Proverbs 1:8, my child, listen when your father corrects you. Oh, and all the older parents are like, Selah. Pause and reflect. Let's the room pause and reflect. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. This is a great verse to pull out as soon as your child's not listening to you. I'm just kidding. That's not a good time to do it because they won't listen to you more at that moment. Do it when they're in a good spirit, okay? My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. One of the ways that young adults and teenagers honor their parents is just by listening. By realizing maybe the person who's lived on the earth 30 more years than me has a little more wisdom. Maybe they actually do know something. Don't fall into the cultural trap of feeling like you're the only one in the family that knows anything, teenagers. You're the only one with wisdom. You're the only one that gets it. Mom and dad just don't get it. They don't get my life. They don't know how hard it is. They get it. They got it. They lived it. And now they want you to avoid some traps. Do you know you can avoid pitfalls in your life by just listening to your parents? It's so true. I remember being a teenager. I remember thinking all the things that probably teenagers think, but I remember this moment, one moment of wisdom. I remember seeing some of my friends make super terrible choices with who they dated and had relationships with. And at that time, I remember a few people in our life that had gotten, you know, that connected with our family, gotten married, maybe had, you know, poor choices in their marriage. Person didn't end up being great, abusive, whatever. And I remember going to my dad and I remember looking at him and saying, you better not be silent if I'm going to marry a loser. And I told him, and I actually looked at him. I was about 17 years old. And I said, I want you to tell me if you don't think I'm marrying the right person. Now, I wasn't telling my dad to tell me who to marry. I wasn't handing over the keys of arranged marriage to him or something. But I was saying, I want your wisdom. If you see something that I don't see, you better not be silent. I want to know. And I said to him, I submit to you in this. I want to know. Because at that time, you're like, man, these people did not see something, right? Praise God, I got a perfect man. Yeah, for me. Yeah. He's great. He's faithful. He's awesome. And my dad approved. And my mom too. Proverbs 6:20 says it like this. My son, obey your father's commands. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. I encourage young adults and teenagers to actually go and ask for advice from your parents. Don't make them come and chase you down with it. Actually ask them. Bring them the situation. Say, hey, I got this situation. What do you think about this? What do you think is the right thing? Invite your parents to give you wisdom. And I say into young adulthood because honestly, I think we get established a lot better in life as a 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 24-year-old, even if we're really walking in close relationship with our parents still and gleaning from the wisdom that they have. We got married at 19 and 20. We didn't know anything. I called my parents about everything. How do I do insurance? How do I do this? How do I do that? I mean, praise God. They were not doing it for us, but they were helping us, right? because we were close enough with them that we could lean on them. So it says, keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you. For their command is a lamp and their instruction is a light. Their corrective discipline is the way to life. Do you know, honestly, even parents who are slightly messed up, it's amazing what great advice they have for their kids. A lot of times. Their own life can kind of even be a wreck, but they could just know what's good for their kid. That person is not going to be good for you. That friend isn't going to lead you in the right place. It's like we said before, even a broken clock. Always write at least twice a day. So listen, right? Listen, listen, listen. And as we go into adulthood, and we have this adult-on-adult relationship with our parents, so you move from obeying them. Hopefully we'll always listen to them, always respect them. But there comes a place where some of you testified, you have 100-year-old, Brad was like 100, Brad's mom's 101, right? You have a 90-year-old mom. I know Sherry's mom is 80s, 90s. Yeah, yeah. So what about when you're moving into this adult-on-adult relationship with your parents? Mature, two mature people now, right? You're not really needing to lean on them for how do I do insurance or how do I fill out a job resume, right? Maybe you figured out, you have your own children now. Some of you have your own grandchildren and you're still like, your parents are alive. How do we honor our adult parents? One of the ways is that we honor them by appreciating them. My 20-year-old Malachi excels at this. I hope he watches the video. He's amazing. It's like a gift on his life. It's just a gift on his life. He'll call me, Mom, I don't know what I'd do without you. Mom, I so appreciate you. Mom, can you help me interpret a dream? I so value what you have to say. I mean, we honor our adult parents as adults by appreciating them. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life. Don't despise your mother when she's old. We appreciate them in a couple different ways. I mean, we can appreciate them in so different ways, so many different ways. But one thing is we should, as adults, we need to show our appreciation to our parents. We appreciate them for their effort. Even as adults, we can maybe forget we were difficult. It was a sack, you know, they had sleepless nights too, right? We have sleepless nights with our kids. They had sleepless nights. We think, oh man, like some of us have kids at home still, like, are we doing a good job? They had all those thoughts also. We appreciate their effort. Parenting's hard work. It's good to tell your adult parents as an adult, I appreciate all the hard work that you did for me. Thank you. I appreciate your hard work. Appreciate the responsibility it took. It takes a lot of responsibility to raise children, right? You're responsible for their clothing. You're responsible for their food. And something else, I cannot read it. My writing is terrible. It's so good. I cannot read my handwriting. I keep going back to installing because I'm like, there's a third thing. We appreciate it. I can't read it. Funny. All right. We also appreciate their sacrifice. This was interesting. I looked it up. Right now, in 2023, it takes $288,000 to raise a child from birth to graduation. You don't even want to think about it, do you, Shannon? You could have been a millionaire. Woo, you could have been a millionaire. But the kids are worth it. It's you'd rather have kids than money any day. Yeah, that's right. I heard this one funny guy. He said, A person who has pictures where they used to have money is called a parent. Pictures in the wallet. We appreciate their sacrifice. They sacrificed to raise you. So maybe you have parents that had blaring flaws, you know, that like there was a lot of different things in the home that weren't that great. You can always appreciate their effort and you can appreciate their sacrifice, right? We also honor our parents as we become adults, actually by providing for them. You don't hear that so much in America, do you? Oh, yeah. Shannon, you got it made. Your best days are ahead of you. All those kids providing for you. You are so honored. We actually, Western society, America, Western Europe, it's almost the only culture in the world that all of our attention are on our children. Most cultures, the attention is actually on the elderly. As you get older, you are esteemed as being wiser. As you get older, you are celebrated more and more as the matriarch, the patriarch in the family. But in America, all of our attention and energy are on the little ones, right? On the younger ones. And actually, it's a huge, weird thing in America that the elderly are kind of forgotten about almost in many circles and in many families. But that is not God's way. That is one of those things that we have to renew our mind and say, we are going to do better, and we're going to do it God's way, and we are going to esteem our elderly parents. We're going to respect them and esteem them. Elderly parents need to know that they've made an impact on your life. As your parents get older, they need to hear you tell them what an impact they made on you. How you are the person you are today because of them. This means one of the ways that we esteem our elderly parents is by keeping in touch with them. Elderly or elder parents, adult and adult. If you're 30, you're 40, call your mom. Call her regularly. Text her. Don't be one of those families that every 6 months you get in touch with mom. Make the effort. Honor her. Well, when I talk to her, I don't have a lot to say. Tell her about your everyday life. Tell her about all the things the kids. You know what? A lot of times as parents get into the retirement years, their lives aren't so complicated anymore. And actually, a lot of times they love hearing about your complications. Really, I'm serious. They don't have those days anymore where they're running around like crazy to all the ball games. It's not their life anymore where they're up with babies at night. And they're, you know, all the ins and outs of all the school activities. You know, their life gets simpler in the sunset years. Some of them have quit traveling. Some of them are home a lot. They want to hear about your life. Tell them what you had for dinner. Tell them about the price of eggs. Whatever it is, just, you know, talk with them. Stay in touch. And as I said, one of the ways that we honor our parents as they grow older into the elderly years is by providing for them. I'm going to look at 1 Timothy 5. You know, many cultures, most in the world live multi-generationally, where grandparents, parents, grandchildren all live in one house together. Grandma and grandpa growing older, if they help with the little ones, they have purpose. Also, they're getting cared for as they need help with things. And so we should think about that I know it's odd for us, some of us, not all of us. Some of us have Hispanic cultures where, you know, you can put 25 people in a house and just like.
Oh, I'm
so sorry. Anna Vanilla had a little itty bitty house at one point. You were living in a little house, and I can't remember. Somebody was coming to live with you. Your house was already so full. And we were like, Anna, do you have anywhere to put them? She goes, I'm Mexican. We always got somewhere to put them. I love that. That is, I want to be like you. I'm like, I don't have a bed for you. And she's like, we don't need a bed. We got a floor. This is what 1 Timothy 5 says. This is good advice for how we interact with those that are older than us. Never speak harshly to an older man. Just pause right there. Don't ever speak harshly to an older man. Moms and dads, let's teach our kids this. You never disrespect an older man. What if the older man is wrong? Then you be silent and walk away. Don't be disrespectful to elders, though. I mean, that's something we're almost just completely losing in our society as, you know, but it doesn't make for a very wise culture when we think all the wisdom is in the 20-year-olds. You know, the wisdom's in the elderly. But we celebrate all ages, obviously. Never speak harshly to an older man. But appeal to him. What about when you need to, like, have a serious discussion? Appeal to him respectfully as you would your own father. Respectful. Talk to younger men as you would your own brothers. Some of you are thinking about ways that you speak to your brothers. They mean the respectful way that you would speak to your brother in honor. I don't know if we can even relate to the scripture. I feel like I have to preach every line, right? Treat older women as you would your mother. Older women in this church, of course, we don't have any people that'll own to be older. They're like, there's nobody in the church that says, none of us belong to that category. So we're all sisters, right? But appeal to them as mothers. It's a glorious thing to be a mother in the faith. A few times I've had someone who's older come in the church and say, oh, we have so many younger families. And I just look at them every time and say, everybody wants a grandma. Yeah. Make your home here. Yeah. Everybody wants a grandma. Appeal to older women as your mother. Treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters. So men, look at other women in the church as your sisters. Women, look at other men as your brothers with purity of heart. Verse 3, take care of any widows who have no one else to care for them. But if she has grandchildren or children, so if a widow has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. This is something that pleases God. But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. That is crazy. Now, taking care of our parents may look like different. It may look different in each family. But the responsibility is on us to care for our children. Or to care for our elderly parents. And I think elderly parents, I think parents need to hear it. I think parents need to hear, just so you know, Mom, I'm always going to care for you the best of my ability. Just so you know, Dad, there's never going to be a time that you are destitute. I'm always going to do whatever I can to care for you. Funny story, my parents led a beautiful example of this. When my grandparents were elderly, for as long as they could, they kept them in their own home, which was on the farm right next door. You know, it's this homestead situation. So my parents literally lived, I don't know, half a block away on the same farm. But when it got to the point where my grandmother could no longer cook meals and she'd broken a couple bones, they eventually moved them in. And for the last 5 years of my grandparents' life, they lived with my parents. And they died at age like 95, both of them, a year apart. And I always praised my parents for that because we always would say we want to be a family who cares for each other. But, you know, someone had to do that first. Yeah. And it was really hard. It was very difficult, especially last year in my grandma's life. Really hard on my mom. But I just kept telling my parents, thank you for showing us how this is done. Thank you for showing us that sometimes it's sacrifice, but it's worth it. And my kids, I remember they were younger. Sometimes after we would leave from visiting my parents with my grandparents present in the home, they would fight in the car about who would care for me when I'm old. Malachi and Abby, Sapo wasn't yet with us yet. Malachi and Abby would fight and argue about who got to have me when I got elderly. And my grandma, the last year of my grandma's life, she was almost like total care, like really, really a lot of care on my mom. And I remember Abby being in the car and we were on her way home and she says, Mom, I do want to care for you, but I never want to wipe your butt. And she almost started crying. Her voice cracks. And I said, don't worry, honey, because I never want you to wipe my butt. So let's believe for the best on that one, right? I think it's good that we talk about this in our family units with our children on a regular basis, that we make it normal. We're going to care for each other. We're going to care for each other. I care for you now. Someday, if I have to, you'll care for me.
I just that story made me think of another story. When her grandfather, he was in the hospital and he was going to pass away any day. Like, we knew it. And her dad was just there with him constantly and just like making him as comfortable as possible. And he loved him. So he would just be there and her dad would just sing hymns to her grandfather, you know, and just to comfort him and just make sure he was cared for the best he could. And you know, it was tiring. He was there a lot and he was being tired. And when he was able to get a little bit of sleep in that time period, the Lord gave him a dream. And in the dream, the Lord showed her dad, and he was holding, carrying his father up a mountain, up to the top of a mountain. And it was just this picture of the Lord's perspective. It says, this is what you're doing for your father. Like, you're carrying him up that final leg. That final leg of his trip, you're getting him over that finish line. And it was just this beautiful picture of the Lord saying, you know what, I honor what you're doing. I honor you for honoring your father. And don't they do that for us when we're little? Yeah. You know, they do that for us. It's right. It's right that we would do that for them. So
that's beautiful. And even in this First Timothy passage, it actually says that you should care for them and repay them for taking care of you. Isn't that just like something that's never talked about? It's okay to say, Mom and Dad, you cared for me all these years. And don't our parents care for us way more than just 18? My mom is still caring for me. She's my personal intercessor, I call her. I love her so much. I lean on her. She's so godly. I encourage you today to take time, if your mom is still alive, take a few minutes to think about how you can very purposefully honor her. What are words that you can say to her today? You can say out of your mouth that are on purpose, not just Happy Mom's Day. That's good too. That's great. Remember her. That's fine. But what is something that she maybe needs to hear right now? Does she need to hear, Mom, I just really want to tell you thank you for your sacrifice. Yeah. I realize, as tired as I am right now, you were that tired when you were having kids. You worked as hard as I'm working, maybe even harder. You know, I appreciate your sacrifice. I appreciate your effort. I know you did your best. Do you know the mom guilt that some of us feel when we're younger and we have kids? Oh, did we do enough? Older moms come under that. Maybe I could have done this better. Maybe I could have done that better. It's a powerful thing for their adult children to say, you did your best, and it was great. It was great. I did just fine. Why don't we stand right now? Moms in the room, we honor you. You are so important. You are the or one of the most important people on the earth to somebody. Really. You are one of the most important people on the earth to somebody. And we value that. There's no replacing you. And I just want to bless you today to be free of guilt, to be free of like, I could have done it better. I should have done this better. Maybe I'm not doing this good enough. Just say your best effort is good enough. Your best is good enough. Let's just close our eyes right now. Lord, I just ask God that you would also, Lord, help us to honor moms, Lord, today. To honor parents, that as children, we would do so good at honoring our parents. And Lord, I pray right now that for everyone who has a parent who's alive, that you would right now give them a special way that they could honor their mom today. I pray you give them a word of encouragement, something that they could do that would be very meaningful. And I pray today, all across this city, that moms would be built up, that they would feel loved and cared for. And Lord, in this way, God, we know what you said. You said that you are pleased when we do this. You are pleased when we love and care for our moms. So anoint us to do it, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you and happy Mom's Day.